Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introduction, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Cathy Kuhn. Ma'am, you may begin.
Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is automating deployment of WebSphere application server configuration and applications with UrbanCode Deploy. The presenter is Laura Ziosi. Laura holds a doctorate in physics from the University of Bologna, Italy, and is the technical team lead of the IBM UrbanCode support team in EMEA. Since 1999, she has been supporting clients using various architecture management products, including Rational ROSE, Rational Application Developer, and Rational Software Architect, focusing on ULM modeling and Java EE development. In 2013, she shifted her focus to DevOps and started supporting UrbanCode Deploy and its integrations with various type of middleware and source configuration management tools. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Laura.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the session. Kathy, if you could move to slide 2, we will go over the general philosophy of the integration between UrbanCode Deploy and WebSphere Application Server. We will briefly touch upon the installation prerequisites. Then we will see how you would discover an existing WebSphere cell configuration using some of the predefined example processes. And then we will use one of the newest features of this integration, which gives you the ability to strictly control what configurations you apply to your WebSphere application server using so-called configuration snippets. And we will use an example based on a JDBC driver and a data source. We will create the snippets and then we will apply them to a new server or cluster. And we will just briefly touch upon how you would deploy an application that uses that data source also using UrbanCode Deploy. You may go to slide 3. So the goal of this integration from UrbanCode Deploy to WebSphere Application Server is to allow you to automate the deployment of configurations and applications to the app server. And the theory of operations for how this works is that we assume you have some good, well-known configuration that you can discover. You can then store a representation of this configuration as a JSON file, and you can version these JSON files. And finally, you can then use these JSON files to apply the same configuration to other instances of WebSphere application server. Other features that exist, but we will not see today, are about the comparison. You can compare configurations and you can compare them with the live cell. You can move to slide 4. So here you see the prerequisites for this integration. You need to have the UrbanCode Deploy server, the latest version of which is 6.2.1.2. And you need to install 2 optional plugins, the WebSphere Application Server Deployment and the WebSphere Application Server Configure. All the UCD plugins are available free of charge on the UrbanCode website at the links provided. And installing the plugins is very simple. You just have to download them first to your local drive and then browse for them from the application, from the UrbanCode server, and they will be just loaded for you. And you also need to have a UCD agent running on the machine that hosts the WAS deployment manager or the WAS standalone server in the case WAS-based installation. UrbanCode Deploy supports all the currently supported version of WebSphere Application Server ND or Base, so 7.8.8.5.9. And in the case of this particular example, because we are going to test a data source, of course, we need a database. And in this example, I used DB2 version 10.5.6. We can move to slide 5. So as we said, the idea is you already have an existing WebSphere server that perhaps your development team has been using to test the application in their local development environment, or that you have otherwise configured manually using the administrative console. You've got an agent of Urban Code Deploy installed on the machine where that well-known configuration of WebSphere is available, and you are going to discover that configuration. And this discovery is made of three steps. The first step amounts to discovering the WASP profile of the deployment manager or of the standalone server. This is needed so that the UCD server knows how to connect to this profile. The second step consists of discovering the topology of the cell. And by topology, we mean the set of nodes, clusters, and servers which are part of that cell. This is required to be able to determine where to deploy the configurations and the applications. So, for instance, you may have a server 1 and a server 2, and you may decide to apply application A to server 1 and application B to server 2. So Urban Code Deploy needs to know this topology in order to help you determine where to place your Urban Code Deploy components prior to running the deployment. The third step is to discover the configuration of all the selected scopes, and this step generates JSON files that represent the configuration details. So these are files that you can read, that you can version, that you can store in your Urban Code Deploy components. We can move to slide 6. So the first step is to discover the WASP profile. In order to do that, you need to create what we call a top-level resource in Urban Code Deploy. It's really just a folder, a placeholder, if you wish. And to this resource, we add a property called WebSphere.ProfilePath in order to tell Urban Code Deploy where the profile is located. This property can take a list of comma-separated directory names. This could be the names of the directories where the profile resides, or even the parent directory of a group of profiles. In that case, all of the profiles that are under that parent directory would be then discovered if they are of type deployment manager or standalone server. There is another way of doing this, which consists of setting a different variable on the agent, but that approach allows you to discover only one profile. That's why I prefer to show this option. We can move to slide 7. Once we have that root resource configured with the WebSphere profile path property, and we add an agent under that resource, there will be a process called auto-discovery that will run automatically, if successful, create a new resource under the agent, a new resource which represents the WebSphere cell. This functionality, this auto-discovery process, is part of the WASP Deploy plugin. For this to work, the agent needs to be running. WebSphere application server doesn't need to be running yet, because this process just looks at resources on the file system. We can move to slide 8. Now we have this cell resource in the resource tree, and we can click on the pencil icon and have a look at the properties of this resource. And we can see that there is a role associated with it called WebSphere cell. And in this role, there are a number of property values already pre-configured. What we have to do is go and specify the username and password of the administrative user that can connect to the administrative console of the WebSphere application server. Note that the value of the SOAP connector port has been determined automatically by reading the file portdef.properties. So if that value was wrong, then it would be wrong here and you would have a failure when trying to connect. We can move to the next slide, slide 9. So now we are ready to actually discover the topology of the web cell, and we can do that interactively by selecting the cell resource and then looking at the actions menu and selecting configure using WebSphere topology discovery. And the result will be what you see in the screenshot, a list of nodes, clusters, and servers will be created in a proper hierarchy in the resource tree. And this will then allow you to map the UCD components under these resources to determine where exactly you want to go and deploy your application or your configuration. We can move to slide 10. Now we are ready to actually discover the configuration of the cell. For this, the WAS Configure plugin contains a step called WebSphere Configuration Discovery. This step produces a JSON file with the description of the entire cell, including all the nodes, the clusters, and the servers. The plugin then gives you other utility steps, which you can use to split this file in separate files for each scope. You have also steps to replace hard-coded values with variable names. This is needed because when you are starting from one exemplar cell, you will have some specific properties in there. For example, the name of the database that particular WebSphere instance connects to, and obviously when you move that configuration to a different WebSphere instance, you will need to change that name. So what we want to do here is to replace their coded values with variable names, and then later those variable names will be replaced with actual values appropriate for the target. And this process of replacing their coded values with the variables is called templatization. And the plugin gives you various generic processes that help you to automate this whole sequence of operations. We can move to slide 11. And here you can see when you look at the Processes tab, after importing the WAS Configure plugin, you will have four new processes. At the link posted below, there are more such example processes with their description. Let's look at the details of the four, which are there by default. The simplest is the example 3, which is for WebSphere Base. Since WebSphere Base only has one cell and one node and potentially multiple servers, this will allow you to discover the configuration of the cell, the node, and the one selected server. Then we have the example 2, which is for WASND, again, with a standalone server, so very similar. And then we have the example 1 and the example 4, which are for WASND with clusters. And there is a specific difference between these two. Example 1 is using the concept of multiplicity, meaning that it assumes that all the cluster members have the same configuration, and effectively it stores that configuration only once. While the example 4 assumes that each cluster member can have a different configuration, and therefore it will discover the configuration for each one of them. In this presentation and example, I have used the example 2 for a WASND with a standalone server. We can move to slide 12. And here we see an example of the first part of the example 2. And you can see the sequence of steps. The first step is the WebSphere configuration discovery, which discovers the configuration of the entire cell. And then we have the steps required to extract the configuration data and break it apart in a different file per scope. And after we've done that, we've got steps to templatize each of the different scopes. So we templatize the cell, we templatize the node, we templatize the server or the cluster. And this converts the configuration data into a reusable template, which uses some predefined variable names, such as WebSphere.cell, WebSphere.node, WebSphere.server, WebSphere.cluster, that represent the name of those particular objects in the configuration. We can move to slide 13. Here you see the details of the step WebSphere configuration discovery. I want to draw your attention to the fact that the step looks very simple when you open it, but It has a lot of properties which are visible only if you click on Show Hidden Properties. These include the profile path, the command path, username, password, connection type, etc. Now, you do not have yourself to fill in the values of all those hidden properties. That's actually why they're hidden. They derive from properties which are set on the parent resources of the component that you will place somewhere in the resource tree. But one property that you may want to change is the login level. So that is hidden, and by default it is set to info, which means that only a certain level of login information will be provided. If you raise this level to debug or trace, there will be additional logs that will be generated. These logs will be available in the window where you are looking at the process execution next to the output and error and input-output properties of the step. So we'll have additional icons there that you can click on and download these additional logs that are generated in the case you want to have debug or trace information. We can move to slide 14. As I mentioned, those hidden properties are references to properties defined in resource roles, such as $P question mark column web sphere dot profile path, where the question mark means if the property is null, it will not generate an error, it will just not be used. And the resource roles are actually named collections of properties that can be attached to resources, and these resource roles, there's more than 900 of them, they are created in the database when you install the plugin. You can actually see these resource roles in the resource tree by looking at the Show Resource Roles. The plugin, for instance, the topology discovery step, will automatically apply the WebSphere cell or WebSphere node or WebSphere server resource roles to the resources when it discovers them. So there is no need for you to do it explicitly, but just so that you know where all these roles can be seen. So we can move to slide 15. This is a bit the skeleton of what we are going to do. In this demo, we are going to, first of all, create a data source in the admin console, which requires that we create a JAS authentication alias to store the username and password for the connection. Then we need to create a JDBC driver to supply the location of the JAR files to make the JDBC connection to the database. And finally, we create a data source, which of course contains the name of the database and references the authentication alias and the JDBC driver. And we know that the JDBC driver and the data source can be created in any scope, cell, node, cluster, and server. The JAS authentication alias is created by default in cell scope. We go to slide 16. This point is very important. After we have created this configuration in WebSphere for our data source and we want to go and apply it to another instance, well, we have two options. We can either apply an entire scope, so an entire server scope or an entire cluster scope, possibly after having split the corresponding file in multiple snippets if we want to, you know, manage them separately perhaps. But if we do this, we must be careful to apply the entire configuration, because if there are existing objects on our target WebSphere application server that are not in the configuration, those will be removed. The alternative approach is to apply just an individual snippet. In this case, it will create or update only those particular configuration objects that are in the snippet, and it will leave all the other ones unchanged. So some clients prefer this approach because it gives them more control. They are sure that they are not inadvertently going to delete something that for some reason somebody had added manually to the server and which was still needed. So in this presentation, we will go first over the first approach, and then we will focus more on the snippet approach. So we move to slide 17. To create a configuration snippet in Urban Code Deploy, we will first create a new component, enter a name for it, and then use a predefined component template called WebSphere Snippet Config, which is available in the WebSphere Config plugin starting with version 23. And then we click Save. we can move to slide 18. This step, WebSphere Create Configuration Snippet, takes in input a pre-existing discovered configuration file. For example, the one that we have discovered using one of the previous out-of-the-box processes. The best way to create the snippet from a process is to use the complete file created during the initial configuration discovery. And if that file is very big because it contains multiple nodes, multiple clusters, etc., you can specify the scope in which to search for the desired item. So if you have the same an item with the same name in multiple scopes, you can make sure to pick the one that you really want by narrowing down the scope. If, however, you wanted to use the snippets already split in individual scopes, remember that you need to add the square brackets around the file contents before calling WebSphere Create Configuration Snippet, because those files have been stripped down of their enclosing square brackets. So they're no longer valid JSON arrays, and therefore they wouldn't work in this context unless you make them again be valid JSON arrays. But as a rule of thumb, use the complete file and that should be fine. We can move to slide 19. The step to create the configuration snippet takes a number of parameters that we need to understand. The first one is the name or the absolute path of the configuration file that has been discovered by the configuration discovery step that we have run previously. The second is the resource name. Now, you are seeing in the top of the slide a piece of the configuration file, and you can see that each of the JSON elements of this JSON array has fields called description, name, path, and role name. What we need to put in resource name is the name field from that JSON object, in this case, jazz house data 0 or jazz house data 1. Normally, you can search for these items within the configuration file based on your knowledge of the particular type of resource you're looking for, either searching by role name or searching by name if this is a particular data source that you have entered. Then we need an output file, which will be the JSON file that will be produced, which will contain the snippet. And then optionally, if you want, you can restrict the search to a particular scope. So if you want to search in cell scope, then you would enter the cell name and leave the rest empty. If you want to search, for instance, in server scope, you would enter the node and the server name and leave the cell and the cluster empty. We can move to slide 20. So the complete process to create the snippet would look like the following. Assuming that you have already done the WebSphere configuration discovery, you would use WebSphere Create Configuration Snippet, followed by WebSphere Templatize Snippet Configuration Data. And finally, you would use the step Create Version to create a new version of your component and upload the new snippet JSON file to that version. And you could make this a generic process or perhaps a components process of type operational new version needed, although that may be slightly more complicated as we will see later. We can move to slide 21. We said at the beginning that we created a component based on a component template with the name WebSphere Snippet Config. This component template contains a process called apply, and this process apply contains a step called apply snippet config step. What I want to show you is that there is a very important property in this step called only update or create configuration objects. Again, it's a hidden property of the step, and by default it is selected. And when this property is selected, the objects that are not present in the configuration snippet are also not deleted from WebSphere application server when the snippet is applied, which is the default behavior and obviously is what you want when you're applying only a very limited snippet and not the entire configuration. So nothing for you to do here. If you use this default process, this will already be selected by default, but just so that you know where the option is. And we can move to slide 22. Now, this is normal UCD procedure. Our next steps are going to be adding the component that contains the snippet to the application, then placing that component in the environment at the right location, And if the process is generic, we only need to have this component where we want to actually apply the snippet. If the process to create the snippet was of type operation on version needed, so it was part of the same component, then we would also add the component in the location from which we want to generate the snippet. And then we could distinguish the two locations using resource tags in order to apply only one of the processes. We can move to slide 23. This is just a screen capture of how the process to create the snippet would look like. First, again, it would create the snippet based on a pre-existing configuration file. Then it would templatize that snippet, and finally, it would create the version and upload the JSON file to the component. We can move to slide 24. Here we see how the predefined apply snippet process looks like. So again, this is not a process you have to create. It comes out of the box in the component template for the snippet. You can also here double check what are all the hidden properties, for example, for the apply snippet config step. Note that there is a step replace tokens, which is used to, prior to applying the snippet, replace the actual values of the resource properties or environment properties in place of those variable names that the templatized step had added to the snippet file. So here we are going to finally have the real final names that we want to have on our target server. We can move to slide 25. And here when we run the process to apply the snippet, again, by default, it deletes all the file and directories it finds in the default working directory, then it downloads the snippet JSON files. It replaces the tokens in them. If there are multiple snippets in the same component, it will combine them together. And finally, it will apply the resulting snippet to the particular scope that we have selected, which could be a server or a cluster, for example. And we can move to slide 26. So how do we verify if everything went fine? Well, typically you would use the WebSphere administrative console and you would go and check in the desired scope, cell, node, cluster, server, with your knowledge of what particular configurations you wanted to apply, you will verify if they are now visible. And ultimately, the ultimate verification will be deploying an application that needs those configurations. And just very briefly, how you would do that, you would create a new component based on the WebSphere Enterprise application template, which again comes from the WAS deployment plugin. Then you would create a component version and you would upload to that component version, for example, an ear file or a WAR file that uses your configuration, in this case that uses the data source. And then you would have to create an application with an application process that installs this component. However, the component process is predefined and is called deploy ear with user and group mappings and resource mappings. So it's very simple. You just have to create the application and the application process, but you don't have to do a lot of work here. And finally, you would invoke the application process. So if we move to slide 27, here you can see how this default process, which is part of the component template for ear files, looks like. It downloads the artifact, it checks to see if the application is already installed. If it is installed, then it checks if it is not running. If that fails, it will stop it, and otherwise it will uninstall it. And if the application was already installed or we have just uninstalled it, it will then go off and install it fresh. And there are additional steps to then check if there are user and groups mappings or resource mappings to apply. But this is the most important part of the process. Again, this is out of the box, so you don't have to worry about creating it yourself. And this takes us to the demo on slide 28. There are two demos that have been posted to YouTube, so you can also play them back later, and they have audio, so you can just listen to those directly without having to listen back to this presentation. And today we will just watch them and go over them. The first is just showing the discovery up to the point of the WebSphere topology discovery, and the second one focuses on the WebSphere configuration, the creation of the snippets, and the application of the snippets. So, Kathy, if you could help us playing the videos.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing the presentation, and then I'm going to go into sharing my screen. First one is titled Discovering WebSphere Application Server Topology with UrbanCode Deploy and WAS. So I'm just going to play that, and I believe you are going to talk to it, correct, Laura?
Yes, thank you. Okay, so here we are going to do the initial part of the discovery. So first of all, we have to create a top-level resource and specify in the configuration a resource property, which contains the path to our profile, in this case, the deployment manager profile for WAS and D. After that, we are going to add our agent, which must be running, to that resource. And this will trigger the auto-discovery. So in a few seconds or by clicking refresh, if you don't see it immediately, you will see that there is a new resource created under this agent, and this resource represents the cell. And the process history or the process log is visible under the history of that resource. Now, if you edit the configuration of this resource, you will see it has these additional role properties that come from the WebSphere cell resource role. They are all pre-populated, but the user and password need to be updated with the correct values for connecting to that particular profile. You also want to double-check that the SOAP port is the correct one. You have to enter any character in the name because it's a mandatory field, but later the name of the cell will be discovered, so you don't have to worry now. And here you will then configure using topology discovery, which will actually connect to the server. So the WAS server needs to be running at this point. It will use those credentials, and it will print out the information about the nodes, the servers, the clusters that it has found. You will see it in the log. But not only will it put it in the log, it will also add the corresponding resources to the resource tree automatically. And if you expand, then you will see that you have your node, your servers, your clusters, cluster members, and so on. This is the first part that takes us up to the topology discovery. And then, Kathy, if you could play the next video, we are going to look at the configuration discovery. So here we look at the predefined processes, the example number two that we have already seen in the slides. This does the WebSphere configuration discovery, then it splits it in different files for each scope, then it templatizes each scope, and finally it will actually create a component for each of the scopes. Create a component version for each of the scope, and it will upload the files to that component version. Now, the configuration file here is an actual output of this process, but you need to tell where you want it to be generated, and there will be also an output directory where the files for each scope are written. We need to supply the node name and the server name that we want to select, and finally the resource on which we want to run this, which is going to be our cell resource that we have discovered before. And this process will then run and go off and generate the big configuration file for the configuration of the entire cell in this WebSphere configuration discovery step, which is the longest step. In this case, it took 9 minutes on this machine. The other steps are breaking that file apart and templatizing those files and finally creating the component versions, and those steps are much faster. So then we can go and verify that we have indeed various component templates that have been created, such as node config, WebSphere server config. Now, these are created when you install the plugin. And then we have components based on those templates. Now, those templates have predefined processes, which will help us to apply this configuration stack. And when we look at the, for example, server config, in this case, we can see that it has a new version, and this version contains a new JSON file called server.json, which is the result of that discovery. Now we move to using snippets. So here we're just showing that we've got a pre-configured application server with a data source defined on server 1, but not defined on server 2, a JDBC driver, and this JDBC driver depends on some variables with CR variables, which are also defined in the server 1, but are not defined in the server 2. So the purpose of this exercise is to move this configuration from server 1 to server 2 using a snippet. And we can probably, of course, test that our configuration, that our data source connects to the database successfully, just to be sure that everything is working fine in our exemplar configuration that we start from. And again, we do not have that information in the server too. So now we're going to create a new component that will hold our data source configuration snippet, and we select as a component template the WebSphere snippet config. We don't select any source configuration type because we will create the component versions from a process. We will not import them from any repository. And just to double check, this component has a predefined process which comes from the template, and right now it doesn't have any versions. So now here I've created a generic process, which is first of all calling the create configuration snippet, and I have configured it to use variables instead of outcoding all the values so that it is more flexible. And then we templatize that snippet, and we can also add our own user-defined tokens with this variable here, p column user-defined tokenization. Again, to make it more flexible, I didn't hard code here that I wanted to, for instance, tokenize the data source name. And finally, the last step is to create the version. So here we are just going to say, okay, what is the name of the component, what is the name of the version, and which files do I want to include and upload to that version. And finally, we have to fill in all these process properties, which are used to populate all those inputs to those steps. And in particular, the item that I want to extract in the snippet is the DB2 Universal JDBC Driver Provider, because that is a hierarchy, and the JDBC driver contains the data source, so it's enough to extract the JDBC driver provider, and I have extracted also the data source. And I want to create a version 11 of my component. And I want to go and run this process on server 1, because in server 1 I have my good definitions that I want to basically read. And this process will execute. First of all, it will create the snippet from the complete configuration file that I had created running the previous default process out of the box. Then it will templatize it, and eventually it will create the version of my component. So if I check the create version, I can see it's creating version 11, and it's uploading the file jdbc.json. I can also check on my component. I go and see my version. Version 11 has been created, and there is this file jdbc.json in there. Now, in the configuration, you can see that this component depends on the template. This is a second component I created for the application of the variables, and here I've just created a second process to extract the variable map element to basically get those WebSphere variables. And in this case, I don't have any user-defined tokenization, and I'm again going to run this on server 1. And it will do the same. It will create another snippet, it will templatize it, and eventually it will create a new version of the component, and it will upload a new JSON file to this different component, as you can see from the output. is uploading the file variables.json to the component variables config. And now I have to have an application with an environment, and in my environment I want to go and apply these configurations to server 2, which was empty. It was a server that didn't have any data sources yet configured. So I apply the component data, so I add the component data source config, then I add the component for the variables. And I need an application process, which is very simple. It simply installs these two components using the process apply, which comes from the WebSphere configuration snippet component template. Now, here I need to remember that I had a custom property that I had tokenized, which was the data source name, and I need to give it a value. Otherwise, when we do the token replacement, it will not actually replace that that tokenized value. And now I can run my process. I select my latest version of the component version that I just generated, and this will go and execute the install component process, which calls the apply process first for variables config. So it will download the JSON file, it will make all the token replacements. If there are multiple JSON files in the same component, it will combine them together in only one, and then it actually applies the snippet config, which is the step that really makes the changes to the WebSphere application server. And then we repeat the same for the data source config, and here maybe it's interesting to go and check the replace tokens to see that actually it is taking into account not just the predefined tokens, but also this data source name that I want to call my new data source name. So that replacement seems to have happened. The process is overall successful. So now we go and verify in the administrative console. And here we want to go and check the server 2. So here I'm looking at data sources. And the original was called data source 1. Now in the server 2, I can see now I have a new one where the JNDI name is called my new data source name. I can also test the connection, and it is successful, so that is just that is already a very good sign that everything has been configured correctly. I can also double check my WebSphere variables, and now I can see that in server 2 I also have the DB2 universal JDBC driver path variables that did not exist before. So all in all, we have been able to take a specific part of the configuration from server 1. We have created snippets from it. We have put those snippets in component versions, and then we have reapplied the snippets back to server 2, and we have verified that it has successfully created the data source. So this is the end of the demo. Cassia, I would turn it back to you.
Well, thank you very much for a great presentation.
Okay, I can see that there are multiple questions in the chat.
Okay.
Are there any questions on the phone?
If speakers do have questions from the phone, our first question comes from the line of Orly. Sir, your line is open.
Hello, this is Murali. The question I have is that you talked about generic process in the beginning of the presentation. I was wondering, is it automatically created, or do you create it beforehand when you use it?
Yes. So there were four generic processes which I showed a screenshot of. Those were automatically created when the plugin was installed. And there are more such processes that you can download from the plugin website, and then you can import them. I believe there are 10 or 11. And then the one for the snippet, I created myself. So the current processes that are on the website are all using the previous approach, or the approach that was designed first, if you wish, that was of grabbing the entire configuration of one scope and then applying it completely to that scope. But this newer approach of using the snippet, for this one, there is no such example process out there right now.
Is there a guide or is there information? That's the one I was referring to. I was wondering the snippet process. Yesterday I was going through the YouTube and I did not find that automatically created. So is there a steps to create that kind of stuff, another presentation or something like that?
Yeah. So if you were looking back at the slides from today, you would want to look at slide 20.
Thanks.
From today's slides, and you know that would give you the skeleton of the steps that you need to use. And on the plugin documentation page, so the plugin link is on the first slide. On that plugin documentation page, there is also information about how to create the snippets.
Okay.
And, yeah, you're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Max. Max, your line is open.
Oh, hello. Yes, my question is how I can extract multiple configuration options into one snippet. Our majority of systems have GDBC variables and server configuration on server scope. So can that be easily extracted in one go?
Right. So I think the answer is it depends. For example, in this case where you have the JDBC driver and the data source, you can see that the path of the data source is a child of the path of the JDBC driver. When you create a snippet for the JDBC driver, it will actually find its children, and therefore it will include the data source. But, for example, the variables were in a completely disjoint path, which had nothing in common. So I had to do that as a separate snippet creation. So in other words, if there is a parent path that you want, which includes many children, those children will be all included automatically for you.
Okay, so you can't line them up.
Hmm?
You can't line them up saying take variables and take GDBC driver and then get one snippet.
You would have to execute the create snippet twice. However, then you could upload the different files to the same component, and then when you run the apply process, it will combine them for you.
Okay. I have a second question. There is a tokenized step. I don't remember what it was named. It's not nice, mm-hmm. Tokenized, but is there a more advanced way to do that? That's many of our systems have different port ranges, like for the servers. On one instance, we use one port range starting with 10,000, and another server we have the range of 20,000. So is there a way to make alias for them in a safe way?
So you are saying that you don't know what the value is that you need to tokenize? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I know. But if you put in the value 10,000, that might be equal to the heap size of the server. So it might replace the heap size as well. If it's just a string matching.
Yes.
So my question is if there is a more secure or advanced way of securing that you just replace the correct tokens, like the tokens containing the fault number.
Yeah, I imagine you are referring to something akin to XPath in the case of XML files.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not seen it in this case, so it might be a feature that you want to post or you want to contact support to discuss that feature in more details.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions, Max?
Yeah, you said that we should use the base configuration, but to extract the snippets. But is it equally simple to just use, if you use the, can't you just use the one that is extracted on the for the server configuration component, or just adding in this bracket. Would that work? Why is
yes.
it more?
Yes, that would work. Yes, of course, it would work. It's just that if you don't know about it, you know, and you use it out of the box as it is, it will fail and it will give an error that might not be so easy to identify at first. So once you know that you need to put back the square brackets, that's perfectly fine.
My last question is then, is there any configuration component that is not supported?
Not to my knowledge. You know, there are, so you can see from the number of resource roles, there are more than 900 of them that are supported. So if you do find one that is not supported, I would, you know, recommend that you open a support case and we will get it fixed. You know, most effort has been put into finding them all.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mr. Rahul. Mr. Rahul, your line is open.
Hello, thank you. So my question is, like, I use example 1 and 4 with some customizations on a daily basis, and I wanted to use example 6, but it doesn't work as expected because it has to map the server resource roles individually. So is there a way where I can use example 6 the same way as example 4? Like without mapping the resource roles, or do you want me to work with support on that so that it gets sorted out?
Can you remind us all of the purpose of example 6? I do not remember from the top of my head which one that is.
Discover and temple size cluster configuration data, no multiplicity.
Okay, so that is a single cluster. It doesn't use multiplicity, which means that it expects a particular configuration for each cluster member.
Mm-hmm.
And your request is, could you repeat what you would like to do with it?
Right. So when I, like the configuration discovery part works fine, but when I try to apply the configurations, it does not work as expected. So, like my question is, like, is there a way I could use it as example 4, where example 4 is like discover and templatize configuration data with was ND cluster, no multiplicity. So
right, so the difference between those two should be that example 4 also does the cell and the node.
Right.
And then on top of that, it does the cluster, and for the cluster, it assumes that each cluster member is different.
Right. So that I could use example 4 without cell and nodes, or I can... Because I work on example 4 almost every day, and it works as expected, but spends a lot of time discovering the cell all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want the cell to be captured, but just the cluster.
Right. I think we would need to see exactly what error you're getting from example 4. From example 6, sorry.
Right. Okay.
So I would ask you to open a support case for that one.
Okay. Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Speakers, one moment for our next question. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mr. Orly. Mr. Orly, your line is open.
Hello. Hi. This is Murali Kopula. I was listening to the last question and the talk about some the process failing. I experienced the same thing on my side, and what I there seemed to be actually when this was happening exactly when there was a extended MBean extension defined in our environment. There is a function actually that there is a certain function in the Python script that was actually erroring out. I'm not sure how we actually report that kind of things. But when I went ahead and modified that, it went through fine. So it's not really a question, but basically it's a comment or you can.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you know how to open a support request, a service request?
Yeah, I do have for WebSphere, but for Urban Code, I do not know, actually. But I don't know if probably we can use the same support line. But
yes, it's the same support portal, so you would, you know, log in the same way. And normally, your account should have the entitlement to select the product Urban Code Deploy.
Okay.
And thank you for reporting that. That would help us, of course, take the next step there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, speakers. At this time, we don't have questions over the phone. You may proceed.
We did have some questions in the group chat.
Yes, this is Anthony. I've been monitoring the questions. Most of them, if not all, have been answered, mostly by Jason and Michael. I think there's one or two that are unanswered. There was one earlier from Bjorn. His question was, is it possible to clone a cell without having to atomize down to all components?
Yes. So the answer to that is yes. That would be the approach which is taken using the out-of-the-box processes. So you have processes that will allow you to discover the entire content of the cell. I did not show it in this demo, but once you've discovered that, you actually have processes to apply it back. So I only showed how to apply the snippet, but if you use the component templates for WebSphere cell, WebSphere cluster, WebSphere server, you know, without the word snippet in the component template, those component templates have the steps to apply the entire scope. You apply always one scope at a time, so you apply the cell or you apply the cluster or you apply the server, and you can apply them all in sequence. So you don't have to use snippets if you don't want to.
Okay, so that was the only unanswered question. All of the other questions have been answered whilst you were doing your presentation.
I think there was one from Mr. Belek. Does this also apply to West Liberty? I just wanted to clarify, no. That was answered as well. But,
yes, Michael Groves answered that one,
yeah.
I think.
So just want to point out there is a different plugin for WebSphere Liberty that you can also install in parallel to these ones. It does not interfere. And, you can explore the features of that plugin.
Our next question comes from Mr. Max. Mr. Max, your line is now open.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we actually have a PMO on the problem, but what we have done is that we have run the extraction on the cell, in the cell, the node, and the server, and when we apply that back, we actually get Python errors, pointing out some errors in indicating that there's errors in the configuration, the JSON files. But is that something we only have, or is that something?
Max, are you referring to the example that Matthew Alexander just put in the chat, where he suggested that you could use the user-defined tokenization to change to tokenize the entire line? Is that what you're referring to, or is this a different problem?
No, it's a different problem. We, when we extract the configuration for a server or a cell and then try to apply it back, it has never been successful. But if we because it seems like when we are applying it back, so if we apply back the configuration we have extracted, everything fails. But if we instead extract it out, defining exactly which object, the configuration object we want to have for each scope, and then apply it back, then it works. So it seems to be something, I mean, for us it hasn't been successful to apply back what we have extracted.
Yes, so I suspect, you know, I mean, normally what we have seen is there may be one particular item in the configuration that is unexpected from the point of view of the plugin code, and it causes it to fail, and we have to find exactly which one it is and provide a defect fix for that. So we have seen this in the past in a few instances, you know, with particular objects. One that I remember was WebSphere was allowing for duplicate names of properties in data sources. And when the plugin was trying to process that, it was failing because it was expecting them to be unique. So there may be quirks in a particular element of the configuration, but because the configuration is so large, it usually requires some debugging to find which is the offending item. And obviously when you apply just the snippet, you have much more control, and, you know, and maybe in that snippet there is no problem whatsoever, and then it just works fine, right? So with a complete configuration, yes, it may happen, and in that case it's probably going to be some kind of defect or anyway something that we can change in the code to take that particular scenario into account. But it's very specific. So, we need a PMR exactly to work through that case.
Okay. And when you extract configuration, there is, in the hidden properties, there is a way to define the scope. So you can either say shell scope, node scope, or node and cluster. But there is no way to say server.
I'm not sure I recall the particular place where you were seeing this.
Oh, it's in the discovery step, one of the first steps in the generic process when you extract out the configuration from a cell. This discovery configuration, I think it's named. In the hidden properties, there is a way to define the scope where it is going to extract out the configuration for. So you can either select the cell, or you can select node or node and cluster, but not server.
So you are interested in selecting a particular server within a node. That is your scenario.
I just wanted to have the server configuration and not the whole cell.
Yes. Okay, let me make a note of checking on that, and we'll come back to you.
All right. Thank you very much for a fantastic presentation, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you, Max.
So, Laura, there are no other unanswered questions in the chat.
No questions on the phone. Thank you.
There are no more questions. We will conclude the presentation. We thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Laura, for presenting. It was a very interesting subject. The long list of questions that came in just showed how vital this presentation was. You all have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.